Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Here it is, Wednesday again. And it's Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And I pray that each and every one of you had a great week, and that God allow you to experience the things you need to experience. Remove the things that was hindering you and allowing you to be all that you could be in Jesus Christ. Tonight, our lesson is coming from two scriptures. The first scripture is Matthew 6:33, and the second scripture is going to come from Romans 8:28. And the title of our lesson today is, If You Take Care of God's Business, God Will Truly Take Care of Yours. And I want you to ponder on that a little while so that you could truly understand what I'm saying. And as we go into the lesson and explore and give all of the facts that allow you to know that, Madison is not with us tonight. Tonight is his birthday, and he's celebrating his 12th year here on earth, and he's out with his mother, and I pray that they're having a wonderful time. But as always, before we get started, we have to go to the throne of grace. We have to give thanks to God for what he has done, what he's doing, and what he has promised to do. So as always, I ask if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open it up that you may pray. One of our listeners died on Friday night. I don't know if it was in the night or in the day, but he had been calling religiously for 2 years. He was the one that asked me to ask you all to pray for his brother when I asked you to pray for Darryl Terrence, and I told you they called him Big D. The guy that was with us on Block Talk Radio asked for that request for his brother, and yet Friday he died. His name was Warren Terrence, and I want each and every one of you to pray for his family, that they could be strong in their time of trouble. Also, another lady that listened to Blog Talk Radio, her sister Elaine Smith died on today. Be prayerful for that family as well. And if anyone would like to open up with prayer, like I say, you could press the one button on your phone. I'll open the mic and you can pray. If not, Madison is not here, so I will do the honors. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we're taking this time to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your mercy, and thank you for your grace. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to gather one more time. Heavenly Father, we asking that you just look down upon us and remove anything that's in us that's hindering us from being all that you want us to be. Heavenly Father, in your word and in all of our teaching and studying, we realize that God will take care of us, but we realize that we have work to do as well. Lord, teach us how to take care of your business so that you can take care of ours. Lord, and I found out it to be very true. But Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon all of the listeners, dear God, and bless them in a blessing that they may be in need of. Lord, let your mercy shine upon them. Let your favor be with them. And let your grace be sufficient for them. Heavenly Father, we lean in and dependent on your everlasting arm. Heavenly Father, we must hold on to the confession of our faith. Heavenly Father, we just want you to know that we love you and we can't make it without you. Holy Ghost, we ask that you have your way in this lesson tonight. Heavenly Father, open up the ears of the people that they may truly hear, dear God. Soften their heart that the word can penetrate through it. And let us not no longer be just hearers of the word, but become doers of the word. Lord, we need you. Lord, and you told us that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, and we believe that. You told us to call you on your word. Hallelujah. Lord, you told us that you will see us through danger, seen and unseen. And Lord, I say thank you. I say thank you, dear God, for all that you've done, doing, and promised to do. Lord, we love you. Lord, we need you. Lord, we just want to please you, dear God. Let this lesson be a lesson like we never had before. Let the word not return void. I decrease, dear God, as the Holy Ghost increase. Have your way on tonight, dear God. All these blessings and others I ask in Jesus' name. There's no other name besides the name of Jesus. Lord, we just say hallelujah to your wonderful name. We say glory, hallelujah, to the wonderful things that you're doing in, around, and through us. Use us, dear God, your vessel, your servants, dear God. Let us learn how to seek the kingdom of God, hallelujah, that we may have kingdom living. Lord, separate us from this world, hallelujah. Lord, I ask all of this in your son Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. As always, I want to play a song that I believe is so appropriate for the lesson tonight. Once I play the song, I'm gonna come back on. We're going to explore the word of God together. If you want to ask a question, if you want to ask for prayer, if you want to, whatever you want, let it be known. You want to ask a question. I was always taught this, you know, there's no such thing as a dumb question. The rule of thumbs is the only question that's not asked becomes dumb. But I'm asking that you be prayerful as we do this lesson and let the Spirit of God reveal to you what he's saying through his word. And I'm going to go ahead and play the song. The name of the song fits in with the lesson, and it's entitled, He's Working It Out For You. Once the song is through, we're going to come back and explore the word of God together. You be blessed, be prayerful, and here's the song.
Hallelujah. Oh, that marriage
That's some good news. Do you believe and understand that God is working it out? He's working it out for you no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through. God is truly working it out for your good. We have to know that, and we got to hold on to that, and we got to let that be the driving force to take us from place to place. God knows what's going on in your life. That's why he said, I'm working it out. And working it out is just what he said. So I'm going to go ahead and get into the lesson tonight. And the title of the lesson, I'm going to say it again because some more people have called. But the title of the lesson tonight is, If you take care of God's business, he will take care of yours. Matthew 6:33 and Romans 8:28. I pray that each and every one of you had a little time in your busy schedule to review and meditate on the posted word that went out today. Because you know it's for your good. It's for you, giving you something to hold on to. You know, we can't do this by ourselves, and we got to stop fooling ourselves. We have to take care of the things that God has set before us so that he could take care of the things that we need. I'm going to give you a little background now. Matthew's is in the Bible, and Matthew's was the writer of the book of Matthew's, and he was one of Jesus' disciples. You see, according to Matthew's, his gospel, he's the writer of the gospel. And if you have a Bible and when you go to Matthew's on the top of your Bible, it might say the gospel according to Matthew's. The reason they say that, and it took so long for me to understand it, I used to read the full gospels and I would say, I read that already somewhere in Luke, and I read that already somewhere in it. And I pondered on why. Why was the same thing listed in the different books in the Bible? And one day I was reading and I was pondering, and the Holy Spirit told me, look up. And right there before the book of Matthew started, Matthew 1:1, it said the gospel according to Matthew's. Then I opened Luke, the gospel according to Luke, the gospel according to John, the gospel according to Mark. And what was revealed to me was that it may be in the Bible in all four gospels. It may be in three. It may be in two. But that writer was writing on things that he was experiencing while he was with Jesus Christ. Now, if only one disciple was with Jesus when he did a particular thing, then that's the only writer. That's the only, you know, person who wrote a gospel would include it. And it all made sense. So they have some things in the gospel, like maybe a parable or a miracle, you know, or Jesus teaching. If those particular disciples wasn't with him, they didn't talk about the events. But Matthew's was a tax collector. When Jesus met him, a tax collector in those days was a despised person. Because you see, they would collect the tax and they would charge the people more. And the thing that hurt Matthew's even more than some of the other tax collectors was that he was a Jew. He was collecting taxes from the Jews. But the tax was being collected from the Romans, who was their oppressors. So his people really couldn't get with the program. Like, you know, Matthew's, how you going to do this to us? Or why are you going to do this to us? But yet, that's what he did. And, you know, the Romans would tell him how much they wanted. So they had the right to charge anything they want. The rest was lanyap, and it became theirs. And that's what Matthew did. He was so hated by the Jews, he couldn't even go to the synagogue, and he didn't go in the churches because they figured he was beyond being saved. He didn't deserve to be saved. You know, he just didn't have no rights to the kingdom because of what he did. But little did they know that God had a plan. And Jesus, on his way through Capernaum, met Matthew's, asked him to follow him. Matthew's got up right then and there and followed Christ. You see, Matthew's is also known as Levi. And I want to let you know, you say he's known as Levi, but it is not uncommon for a person to be given a different name after their encounter with God. some other people in the Bible that happened to. You remember Abram became Abraham. Jacob became Israel. Simon became Peter. And Saul became Paul. You see, it is likely that Matthew's, which means gift of God, name was changed by Jesus after his conversion. Matthews was wealthy. He was popular in the world because you could go to him and, you know, get something done. But Matthews gave up all that he had and began to take care of the business of God. And he saw how God took care of his business. Even though he had given up all of his wealth, his fame, and everything, he was never lacking. And besides not lacking, all things were added unto him. So that's a little background on Matthews. And now I'm going to give you a little bit on Paul, because Paul was the writer of the book of Romans. And we done discussed Paul so many times, because Paul wrote so many books. But I'm just going to give you a little bit, and we're going to go into the lesson. There is much we can learn from the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul was the writer of the book of Romans, and he also wrote 12 others. I know y'all remember that. He was far from ordinary. You see, Paul was given an opportunity to do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. The story of Paul is a story of redemption in Christ and a testimony that no one is beyond. Come on now, y'all. No one is beyond the saving grace of the Lord. You know, I have people come to me all the time and they say, I'm tired of praying for my nephew because he just ain't going to get it. You know, and how many times I have to keep telling him, tell him till he get it. But you got to remember, it's not your job to make him get it. It's not your job to get him saved. Because if you could save somebody, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come, die, and resurrect. It's your job to share the gospel and keep it moving. You see, Paul's earlier years was against those who believed in Christ. But fortunately, the later years of Paul's life show a marked differences as he lived his life for Christ and the advancement of God's kingdom. You see, first he was doing the business of the Judaism religion, and he was doing the business of the Jews, you know, and he was leaning to his own understanding, and he had a zeal, but it wasn't according to knowledge. But you see, once Paul met Jesus, he took care of the business of advancing God's kingdom. Once Paul met Jesus, he understood the importance of taking care of God's business, because God's business is the only business for our lives that will get us the success that we want. You see, and through all of his trials, he overcame them with the provisions that God has always provided. He took care of God's business, but God took care of his. That's our background for tonight, and we're going to go with Matthew 6:33. I hope you have your Bibles. I hope you read the scripture, because it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, some people might be saying right now, Sister Diane, what is the kingdom of God? Kingdom living. God has provided everything that we need to live a righteous life. The rules has been laid down. You know, what we should do has been taught and preached. We should do that, and that's called, you know, living the kingdom life. And the kingdom of God is all things that are good, all things that are pure, all things that are of a good report. But it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Talking about learn of God. Take Jesus say, take this yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. God say, if you follow me, I'll make you the lender and not the borrower. Come on, y'all. God say, you'll become the head and not the tail. Come on. He say, follow me, and I will be your bridge over troubled water. Come on. You see, that's his righteousness and what he said. He said, but if you seek me first and what I have in my kingdom, and you do it first, take care of my business. He say, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Everything you need. Everything you want will be added. Seek me first. Take care of my business first, and I'm going to take care of yours. That seemed pretty doggone good. And when you're taking care of God's provision, he give you the strength. He give you the know-how. He give you the power. He give you the provisions to pull it off. Hallelujah. That sounds seem pretty doggone good. So I say to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness means to turn to God first for help. You know, sometimes you do stuff and you get all messed up, all screwed up. You do it your way. But if we bring everything to God first, turn to God first for help, to fill your thoughts with his desires, and to take, he'll give you the ability to take on his character for your pattern. Don't go saying I'm better than Mr. Joe. You might not be saying very much of anything. You know, I used to go to the ballroom. I don't go no more. I just do what I want to do at my house. You know, but you can't use, first of all, you can't use your own understanding for the pattern. And you can't pattern yourself on someone else, making yourself look good because you figure you more of a Christian than them. But you have to pattern yourself against God. And where is his pattern and what is his pattern? It's in his word. It's in his will. You see, what is important to you? People, objects, goals, and other desires, they all compete for priority. They want to be first. People in your life got to be first. Your goals got to be first. Your desires got to be first. Different objects. I got to get the phone. I got to get this. I got to do that. I got to get the call. Objects, people, objects, goals, another desire all compete for priority. You see, any of these things can quickly become more important to you if you don't actively choose to give God first place in every area of your life. In life, we must learn to put first things first in order to be successful. You know, after I said I would do this lesson, I wanted to see an example where I could give it to you where God say, take care of his business and he'll take care of yours. So it brought me to the book of Genesis. You see, and in the book of Genesis, I went to Genesis 2 and 15, and that's when God had created man. And at Genesis 2 and 15, I looked at it and I said, okay, this the plan. And that scripture read, and God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. Okay, that was the plan. God took the man and put him in the garden and gave him some business to do. He said, address it and to keep it. You see, to dress it here means to serve in a work, and to keep here means to guard and take care of by working and keeping everything in position so that you could receive his blessings. That was his work. And if he had did, if that was God's work he asked him to do, and if he only took care of God's business with the garden, then God would take care of him with the many blessings that he was going to bestow on him, which God really did. And then after I looked at that, I had to go to the next verse in Genesis 2 and 16. I said, okay, this is the promise that God said. God put him there. Come on now, y'all. Adam didn't make the garden, but God had the garden, and he put the man in, and he told him, to dress and keep it. And then I said, okay, God made a promise in verse 2 and 16, and God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may surely and freely eat. Okay, God put the man in the garden and asked him to take care of his business. God said keep it, so it could, you know, you could get the blessings from it. You can surely eat. You see, God was letting him know that if he was faithful to take care of his business, he would be faithful to take care of his. What did he tell him? You may eat freely. That was the provisions. Taking care of God's work gives you provisions. And God already provided the provisions. I hope I'm not saying it where you can't understand to see how God really works. You see, when you take care of God's business, I'm going to say it simple. When you take care of God's business, by taking care of God's business, that's where all your provisions, which is necessary for to live in this world and this life, and all of your blessings that God promised for you are. So it's almost like when you take care of God's business, God releases the provisions and the blessings. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And then God told him, put him in a garden, told him what to do, told him if he did it, what would be the blessings. You could always eat, and you could eat freely. You don't have to pay for it. You know, just get it. And I got everything there. I got every fruit that people can't even imagine these days. You know, there's fruit that was probably there we never even heard. We would have to see them in the New Jerusalem. And he said, okay. And they didn't eat meat because they was vegetarians. So they food was vegetables and fruit. God put them in there, and he put everything he needed, the provisions. And then he told him to take care of business. But God don't leave you like that. And then I went to the next verse, which was 17, and I call it the consequences of doing things your way. 17 said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, God don't leave you stuck out. He don't give you something, give you a guessing game. He told him, this is what I'm giving you. This is what you have to do. And if you don't do what I say do, this is your consequences. God do that with every area in our lives. God is not leaving us stuck out or making us make it up as we go. You know, we live in a world and a time of this in a dispensation of no excuses. No one is going to be able to go before God and say, oh, I didn't understand that. You didn't tell me that. God always laid the rules out clearly, precisely. If you go tonight and you read Genesis 2, 15, 16, and 17, I call 15 the promise, the plan. I call 16 the promise, and I call 17 the consequences. You see, and that's what God did, and that's what Adam did, and that's what we do most of the time in our lives. But unfortunately, he failed to do the things that God had commanded him to do. What happened? He got out of position for God's blessing. Watch when you do what you want, what you get, and you got. When he did that, he got out of position for God's blessing. And the world is in the mess it's in today because one man decided to do it his way, causing all of us to be out of position. That's serious, y'all. And I use that example to say, you know, when God asks us to take care of his business and what we'll get for taking care of it and what we'll get if we don't. You see, there are blessings being missed because we are out of position to receive it. We are only stewards. I come to tell you tonight, a steward is someone who handles the business of someone else until that person returns. And as Christians, The world belongs to the Lord. The world is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwells therein. If you believe that, your house belongs to God. Because if it belonged to you, you would take it with you. When you die, you know it's not coming. Come on now, y'all. The world is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwells therein. We are stewards taking care of things that God is allowing us to have in our hand. You have to ask yourself, are you a good steward? Are you doing what God wants you to do, what he's given you to do something with? You see, Jesus is coming back. And I said a steward is taking care of something that belongs to someone else until they come back. Who's coming back? Jesus is coming back and will want to know, what have you done for me? He's coming with his reward in his hand. And you got to remember, only what you do for Christ will last. The scriptures tell us all the time that everything else will be burnt up in fervent heat. This whole world as we know it will be disintegrated, if I said it right. But it will be that. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. You see, everything that God has given you is not just for you. A closed hand, nothing goes out, but nothing comes in. Everything you have, God gave it to you. But everything he has given you is not just for you. He sets you up with everything necessary to handle his business. He gave you your life, your finances, your talent, your time, your gifts, your knowledge of him, his word. And he didn't stop there. And when I say he gives you everything necessary that you need, he gives you everything. He's not short on his word. Because you see, he gives you the knowledge of him. He gives you his word. He gave you his son. And he gave you his spirit, all to make you complete. But you have to cooperate. You see, sometimes God give you a little something, and there's someone pass your way and they have a need. And you have it, but you won't give it. You got to remember your life is a gift from God, and what you do with it is a gift to God. You know, somebody might need just a little bit of your time, but you are always too busy, no time to handle the things of God. You know, I don't fool with people. I stay locked up in my house. Why God gonna keep giving you something? You staying behind the four walls. You can't share it. Your light can't shine. And he can't use you for mankind. All that God have imparted in you for his glory. And you selfishly only use it for me, myself, and I. Leaving all of God's business undone. And then you have the cheeks to now wonder why you never have enough time to take care of your business. Hallelujah. Not enough money to take care of all of your needs. And I went and I found a scripture, and we studied this lesson one time, but it's in Hagar 1:6. Hagar 1:6. You know, this was when God had asked them to build a temple, and he had got them released from their bondage, and they went over back to Jerusalem because they had been captured by the Babylonians, and God said it was time to build a temple, and then they went and they started it and they didn't finish it, and then some time passed and God sent another prophet and said, it's time. But he said, he told them in Haggai 1:6, he said, you have planted much, but your harvest is little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in bags with holes in it. That just blew me away when I read that. See, God is saying, you know, I sent you to take care of my business, but all you're doing is taking care of your business. You're building new houses. You're getting jobs. You're working. You're making all the money. He said, but look back. He said, you planted that field, and you planted a whole lot, but you just got little. I'm in control now. Let's not get it twisted. Let's not get it confused. God is in control. He said, you planted much, but you got little. You eat, but you ain't never got enough. You ain't satisfied with nothing. You drink, but you never have a feel. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in bags with holes in it. That's deep. You see, this is what happens when you don't take care of the things of God. He said, take care of my business, and I'm going to take care of yours. You see, and when he told them that, they got it. And they began to take care of the business that God had them to do. And once they did that, they plant little, and they got more. Come on now, y'all. They put on less clothes, and it was even more warmer. Their money began to stay in their pocket and make sense for them. That's scripture. That's true. Romans 8 and 28 is our next scripture. And we know that all things work together for the good, for them that love God, to them that are called according to the purpose. You may ask the question, how is God taking care of my business? The answer is he is working all things for your good. Why? Because you are the call. In other words, the Holy Ghost gave, you know, sent out, God sent out a summon, because we don't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And when we answered the summon, the Holy Ghost then gave us an invitation. We accepted and we became the call. So that means us, Christians, saved and sanctified and set apart. So I'll read it again. The answer is by working all things out for the good, because you are the call and you love him. He wants us to put the work, he wants us to put in the work, taking care of his business so that he could take care of ours. Paul said, all things work together. Now, you see, these two words in conjunction mean, watch this, watch the parallel, catch it. It means to create and eliminate. So he could create and he could eliminate. We're talking about what God can do. He could place and he could replace. He could connect and he could group. He could press and he could stretch. He could move and operate and control and guide. He could give and hold back. Arrange and influence. See, that's what the working together mean. You see, he could go forward, he could come back. Come on now, y'all. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. We're talking about God. And you see the word work together, it also, when I put it in action, I would have to tell you like this, which means all things are constantly working. Action. Put it as a verb. You see, God is arranging and rearranging matters in our lives for the good, to take care of our business. God is constantly working things out for your good, but you must seek him first. And if you take care of God's business first, you have to trust and believe that he's able. When you do that, there's not that much more work for you to do. Because when you truly trust God, you don't worry. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. When you take care of God's business, what are you doing? Arranging and rearranging. Come on. Hallelujah. He's stretching and he's moving and he's pressing. He's doing all of that for you. And that's why the Holy Ghost said, I'm going to guide you. He's going to guide you on the path that God has set for you if you follow him. Hallelujah. It's important to know that you have the insurance in God, and if you do his will, he will take care of you. Many of us don't understand why things happen in our lives. Some of us in the past have had some very negative things and extremely hurtful things happen to us, leaving us to wonder why would a God who is so just, loving, and kind allow such things to happen to us. You see, on the other hand, when someone can look back over their lives and begin, they can't even begin to comprehend how they gained so much success. and how they were so blessed. And they know in their heart they didn't deserve it. And they didn't even have the ability to earn it. Come on now, y'all. Y'all, you're falling in one of the categories. Hallelujah. Some of it was because of the work you put in. But you got to always remember, it's all by God's grace and his favor. All things through Christ Jesus, that he's working it out in your behalf. You know, we weren't the sharpest tool in the shed, or always trying to please God, or always doing everything that we knew was right to do. We all fall short of the glory of God, and yet God works it out for our good, because he has a desire to do. You see, we all fall short of the glory of God, and yet God work it out for our good, because you had the desire to do your best, even in your weakness. Remember, God looks at the heart. Growing in grace and the knowledge of God day by day with a strong desire to please him. That's all we have, because we will never be perfect. You must remember that nothing can happen or will happen unless God orchestrated aloud. He is the creator of this world, and we only playing a part with a divine purpose. I want you to understand that God has a master plan, and we only watching it unfold. Each one of us is in the plan and his will for our lives, but it's up to us to surrender. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on our head. God knows us better than we know ourselves. God, now watch this. You got to believe this. And this is for everybody, the good, the bad, or the ugly. God knows. Watch this. God knows what will move you. He knows what it takes to stimulate you, how to activate you, how to motivate you. Ultimately, he knows what it would take for him to do for us to get us in the position that he wants us in. God is working it out in our lives daily by molding and shaping us into his intended purpose. God is our creator with a design plan for us to take on the image of his son. You see, that's the goal. We must follow the rule book, which is the Bible, to receive kingdom living. Live by the rules in the Bible, and you begin to have kingdom living. You get in the kingdom, and doing that, you live the way the Bible says. You are unique. No twos are alike, and no one can beat you at being you. You have to know who you are and what God has for you. And know that everything is not for everybody. You know, your business that God wants you to take care of ain't the business he wants somebody else to take care of. There's some business that God has need to be taken care of. Only you can take care of it. Because remember, he's molding, shaping, regrouping. He know that you may be the only one to reach little Sally, because he know how little Sally feel about you. Come on now, y'all. You may be the only one to save little Paul, because God may know the influence that you have on Paul's life. But yet Sally and Paul is sitting there waiting for you, and you don't show up. Or you keep showing up, but you never talk about the things of God. You never talk about the things of God. You know, God allows trials and tribulations and adversities to come in our lives, because he's just trying to perfect and direct us. Come on now, y'all. He allows this to get us where he wants us at. The Bible in 1 Peter 5:10 says, But the God of all grace, who has called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Watch this part. After that, ye have suffered a while. Make you perfect, established, strengthened, and he will settle you. Come on now, y'all. You see, we don't know our future. We don't know how the events that happen in our lives will affect us later. But God knows our beginning as well as our ending. You see, your end was already set before you began. Therefore, God take all the events in our lives and work them out for our ultimate good. He uses our successes, our failures, and even our life experiences. Yeah, I came out the project. Yeah, I was molested. He used even our life experiences to get us to his expected end. You might ask, if God has already established our lives totally, then how are we free moral agents? I'm glad you asked that question. God is all-knowing, and he knew what we would be working with, what you would do or what not do. He then orchestrated or allowed it in his master plan. God is in control. God is in total control, and he's working it out for our good. And, you know, I'm going to give an example of how God knows everything from the beginning to the end. Let's take and I'm going to close with this. Let's take a quick look at Adam and Eve. They were free to choose. They were free to choose to obey or disobey. You know, God didn't orchestrate their failure. He didn't tell them to eat the apple. He didn't encourage them to eat the apple. They didn't go to him and ask him, could they? Well, they didn't have to ask him because he had already took it, told them not to. But they did what they wanted to do because they was free moral agents. And God did not orchestrate it. God didn't orchestrate it, but he allowed it. Yes, he knew beforehand. But to see by God being all-knowing and in total control, he had a plan B, which was the birth, the death, and the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. And you see, that was a part of his master plan. You see, God had a desire for all mankind to spend eternal life with him. You see, Adam and Eve, what they did couldn't stop it. His will be done with you or out you. So I'm just asking you tonight, take care of God's business first so that he can take care of you. Let God work it out for you because he knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, just let God have his way and he will fix it for you. That's our program for tonight. I pray that each and every one of you were blessed. Hallelujah. I pray that the Holy Ghost use what you got and give you illumination and revelation. I hope I explained it how I really feel it in my heart, because I realize day by day, the more I take care of the things of God, the more peace I have, the more strength I gain, my faith increase because I'm relying on him. Come on now, y'all. And he has proven over and over. God gives us evidence all the time. God don't say have faith in me and haven't given evidence for you to be able to have faith in him. Come on now, he parted the Red Sea. He let mammon come out of the sky. He allowed the dead angels to pass over the doors with the blood on it. When they walked in Egypt, their shoes and clothes didn't wear out. God don't ask you to have faith in a Buddha that, you know, the rain come. You know, it's amazing. The Buddhas is in places sometime where it rain and they be made with mud or whatever, and it rains, and the rain get to it, and it dissolves, and they have to take some more dirt and make another Buddha. Hallelujah. You see, we serve the only true and living God who has all power in his hand. You can't be God's blessing if anyone would like to make a comment. Anyone have a prayer request? Anyone would like to make a comment on the lesson? You can press the one button at this time, and I'll open a mic, and you can share something with us. Call a 985-774.
Hi, Sister Diane.
Your mic is open. Hey, darling.
Hello, Sister. Hey, the message was perfect for me tonight. It really was. It touched home because I got some problems with the family that, you know, if I look through my eyes, it's going to be hard to deal with. But if I look through spiritual eyes, I know that God, my God, can do this for me, you know, in seconds. And after praying and praying, you do, being human, that you kind of start wanting to do it yourself, you know. And like, I
right.
learn to sit back and listen to what he's telling me to do, you know. And sometimes it's out of my comfort zone. It's like, oh, no, you mean, you know, you talk to me, you want me to get out of my house and do that? You know, I'm getting old, and I'm, you know, but the more I try and do what I feel that might be his sayings, the better things get.
And that,
you know.
And you're so absolutely right, and that's what it's all about. If you take care of God's business and he promised to take care of yours, how good do you think your business will be taken care of when God's doing it?
That's right.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You take care of his business, he's going to take care of yours. And that is so true.
Yeah, he asks so little of us compared to himself and what he can give, you know, and what he can do. So it's like, you know, just service and other people and trying to pass the word. And sometimes doing things that you're uncomfortable doing, you know, but uncomfortable in a good way. You know what I'm saying? Just out of your norm, I mean.
Right.
But yeah, if I keep looking in through my physical eyes, I can't get anything done. But if I get out of that, you know, and the more I read the Bible, the more I can get out of it and look through spiritual eyes and remember what he did for me and remember what he did for the people in the Bible. He raised them from the dead. He parted the Red Sea. You know, he can do this. He can do this for my family, you know, in a blink of an eye. It's just that, am I in the right position? And that's my prayer to him. Put me in that right position. If I can't get there, please help me get there, you know?
Right.
And that's all I want
to
say. But thanks for tonight, because it really touched home.
Thank you, darling.
You're
and what you mentioned, being in a right position, we have to be careful to keep ourselves in position. I didn't say be perfect. But you know things that's just completely out of order that you shouldn't be touching, feeling, tasting, dealing in. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Some things that God have for you, he can't even shower them on you because you so far out of position. First of all, if he give it to you, it ain't going to do no good. And second of all, you're not ready to receive it. Position is important. And when we say taking care of God's business, God wants us to share with everybody. He wants to share the word of God with people. He wants us to give a helping hand. He wants us to be a light in a dark place. He wants us to do that. That's his business. That's my new compared to all that God is doing for us, for all his son endured because of us. And yet when we take care of God's business, it's amazing. Your stress level goes down. Your depression, it may not go away, but it lightens up. The peace really become the peace that surpasses understanding. You stop worrying about the wrong things. You're able to control your tongue better. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm a living witness that these things do happen. And I didn't tell you I was perfect. And I didn't tell you I do everything right. But I asked God to give me tunnel vision towards the thing of God, towards the spirit and not the flesh. And it's constantly, he's constantly working it out. If we could have heard it and received it and then achieved it, then you wouldn't have scriptures like keep holding on. He's working it out in a verbal sense where it's action that he's doing 24/7, 365, because that's how much you need it. And that's how much you're going to always need it. And that's why it's like that. But that's our lesson for tonight. It's now 9:32, this clock says. I don't want to hold you guys any longer. If anyone would like to say something or lead us out in prayer, you may press the one button on your phone, and you can lead us out with prayer. If not, I'll do the closing prayer, and then we'll end the program. And if God says the same, we'll be back on next week. I just want y'all to realize, get busy about the things of God. It makes a difference. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, dear Lord God, I want to thank you for the word that went forth. I want to thank you, Holy Ghost, for your assistance. I want to thank you that this word won't return void. I want to thank you that anybody that meditates on this word, that you will give them illumination and revelation. Heavenly Father, we can't make it without you, and we're growing in grace. We're growing in knowledge. We're growing day by day. Lord, you already know that, and you know our end from the beginning. And because of that, I say thank you. Lord, let us just hold on to the confession of our faith. Let us become doers of the word and not just hearers. And let us walk in the victory that you have already put before us. Allow your word to be a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. Allow my living not to be in vain. And let my light so shine that men may see and glorify the Father. Lord, I pray that this word gave you glory, that it edified your people and horrified Satan. Lord, I thank you for allowing me this opportunity to go before your people. I am so grateful. I don't understand it. I don't figure I earned it, but I'm just telling you thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a caller. Caller, your number is 225-614. Your mic is open. Caller, 225-614.
Hello?
Your mic is open. Yes.
Good night, everybody. I just want to ask for some prayers. We have some changes going on at our job. I'm just praying that people will have favor in going whichever way they need to go. And I'm asking y'all to pray for me because I'm going to seek a promotion with the new schedule. So I'm just asking everybody to pray for me that work out in my favor.
Thank you so much, caller. And we're going to all pray for you in the name of Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, you heard the request. We're asking that you be with this caller that has asked for prayer. dear God, look down upon her job, and you could work it out for her good. You say it in the word we had tonight. You could arrange and rearrange. Hallelujah. Come on now, y'all. Well, Lord, we just want to say thank you. And the promotion she's going with, let her find favor. And let favor be found upon her, dear God. And let her begin to take care of your business first. And we know you'll take care of hers. All these blessings and others we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. Thank you, caller. Is there anyone would like to say anything? If not, I'll do a benediction and we're going to close for the night. The benediction that I want to use, if you're going to use it through the scriptures, in 2 Peter 3 and 18. And the words say, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what all of us should be doing, becoming mature Christians. We're going to be growing to the day we close our eyes. If we live to be 106 years old, we're still going to be growing and learning, because everything we will not know on this side, some things God is keeping for eternity. Hallelujah, that's sweet. So that's our program for tonight. If the Lord say the same, I'll meet you back on next Wednesday, same time, same station. Pray for me. Pray for Madison on his birthday. And pray for one another. The lady asked for prayer for her job and promotion. The lady sister died, and one of our fellow listeners died. We're going to pray for the bereaved families in those particular cases. So I'm going to be back next week again, like I say, if it's God's will. So I tell each and every one of you, good night. God loves you, and so do I. Good night.